Hi, this is Mike, and you're listening to Faith Bible Church's Sunday Message. Thanks for joining us.
We're all becoming something. And looking at your life today, right now, if you looked at your life right now, what do you think you will be a year from now? What about 5 years from now? We're all in the process of becoming something. And what you are today is not what you'll be years from now. And hopefully you're going to become something better than you are today. But let me ask you, what are you doing? What are you trying to become? And how are you getting there? Now you have a choice. You can let the current of life just determine what you'll become without giving any thought to it. Or you can begin to make choices that will help you become what you want to become. But it begins by answering this question: what do you want to become? And we can want to become a lot of different things. A better programmer for you programmers, a better accountant, a better engineer, a better mother or daughter, or mother or father or son. And there are a lot of things that we can want to become, but the thing that God wants us to become most, as his children, he wants us to become better followers of Jesus. And last week we talked about this idea of, in order to do that as a church, we needed to be a place of belonging, a belonging for people. And we had to be a place where people feel like a part of the family, able to find acceptance and able to let their guards down and so that God could work deeper in our lives. But the second thing that we need to do as a church is we need to be a place where people can become, a place where people can become better followers of Jesus. How do we become better followers of Jesus? And let me just say, it is hard. In fact, I am not sure it ever gets easy. And there are so many things in the world that compete for our attention, and that makes it really hard to follow Jesus. So I want to say that the first thing that we need to do is we need to become, in order to become better followers of Jesus, is to heed the words of Proverbs 14, which says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." You need to guard your heart. What are the influences that will determine what you will become, say, 2, 5, 10 years from now? And in hindsight, you know, we can look back on our lives and we can see the different influences that shaped us and created us into what we are today. And some of us, with truth be told, we wish we could take some of those back. But looking forward, we learn from our past, and we can look ahead now and we can say, there are certain things in our life, my life, that I want to include that will influence me to become the person that God wants me to become. And all we can do now is look ahead. You can look back, but you know what? It doesn't make you who you're going to become at this point. You have a choice to make, and you can make some good choices. And with a little bit of wisdom, you can make wise choices in order to guard your heart. What are some of the influences that impact our lives the most? I think one of the most important ones is this one: the people we hang out with. And I think the friends that we choose have a tremendous impact on what we will become later in life. Because the decisions and the people that we spend time with, they influence the way we think and the decisions that we make. And that is especially true for young people. When I was in high school, I remember peer pressure being probably the greatest influence in my life. And to be accepted, you felt like you had to go with the flow, or else be seen as somebody who was sort of on the outside. And no one likes to feel like they're on the inside. And that flow often did not include things that were the best things for us. In my high school, partying was huge. And it's hard. It's a hard pressure to bear, and most don't bear it well. But the ones who do, and the ones who could overcome those kind of negative pressures, were those who surrounded themselves with friends who created a different kind of environment for them. And I have seen young people start out so well, but then somewhere along the way, they get tied in with some people who are very, very far from God. And they begin that slow but steady journey away from God. But I do believe God can turn those things around. He can turn anybody around. But as people who have already turned around and as followers of Christ, we have to be careful not to let certain things, and relationships especially, pull us down. I saw this illustration this week that emphasized this point. You may have seen this video, and it's a dad talking to his daughter. And he actually puts his daughter up on a bench. And he tells her to pull him up. And she can't, of course. But he can easily pull her down. It's easier to pull someone down than to pull someone up. I was going to do the illustration with Ryan. I was going to put a bunch up here, and Ryan was going to go up here. I was going to do it, and I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to pull him down. So, and to save myself the embarrassment, I just told you the story. It is. I think that we can come into relationships and we think, okay, I'm strong enough. I can go into these relationships and I can influence them and I can pull them up. Honestly, it's very, very hard. I'm not saying you can't do it. I don't put it beyond God to do that. But it's very easy, and it's much easier to be pulled down in those kind of relationships. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have unbelieving friends who are far from God, because often in those relationships, I do believe relationships are important. They're crucial. In those relationships, it's often how people come to Christ. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful because of the negative influences that they can have on our lives, right? So choose your friends carefully, because they'll influence your heart's desires for good or for bad. Another thing that influences us greatly is our families. And of course, you know, we cannot control who's in our family. Can't control who our parents are. So this is really something I want to say to the parents. Parents, if you want to influence your kids to walk with Jesus, you must be that steady influence in their lives. And I said, as I said before, you know, for the most part, not always, they will become like the people they hang out with. Be that person. Don't be just available, but engage in your child's life and encourage them and support them in the things that they like to do. And I don't mean, you know, to pick on fathers. I'm a father myself. We're easy targets. But statistics are not good for fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, 5 times the average. 71% of all high school dropouts lack a father. That's 9 times the average. 85% of youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. And again, I don't mean to pick on fathers, but it just underscores the importance of parents being engaged in your kids' lives. If we don't influence our children's lives, then they're going to find some other influence somewhere else. And children will often find unhealthy replacement figures. And I think that is perhaps the biggest reason children become dysfunctional adults. Parents, be a positive influence on your children. Guard their hearts by being a godly influence in their lives. And the last thing I just want to say is one of the biggest influences in our lives is how we spend our time. How are we doing with our time? What are we doing? What are we watching? What are we filling our minds with? Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Whatever we are focused on is where our hearts will go. So I won't say much here because I think the point is kind of obvious. Be careful of what you watch and read. Limit your social media engagement because there's a lot of trash out there. for guys, and I know this isn't just limited to guys, but guys tend to struggle with this more. Practice this second look principle. It's something I ran across that says the first look just happens, but the second look is a choice. Choose to look away. And on the positive side, make sure to spend focused time with God. I know every moment is a moment with God, right? But find time to focus on Him in prayer and in reading the scriptures and really get Jesus into your hearts. Consider how you spend your time. Is it helping you focus on God? Is it making your heart like His? Is it helping you become a better follower of Jesus? And if you continue on your current course, what will you become a year from now? There are other things that we need to guard against, of course. Our culture, trends, societal pressures all compete for our hearts. Our education system clearly has a strong influence on how we think. And I'm concerned, honestly, I'm concerned that because our students are captive audiences in the classroom, they can learn things that are not of God. But listen, there is no better classroom than the home. And it starts there. Guarding our hearts. It's one of the first things that we need to do in order to become better followers of Jesus. Paul says in Romans 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And this speaks to the second thing that will help us become better followers of Jesus, and that is we need to believe the right things. What we believe determines how we will live. Don't take my word for it, just look at your own life. And it will reveal what you really believe. And of course, we believe that God has given us His word to teach us how to live. And so we go to great lengths to teach the scriptures here. And it's important to understand why we believe what we believe. And right now we have various Sunday school classes, small groups, Bible studies, Sunday messages here. And oftentimes, you know, we're just sort of thrown into these groups and we tend to learn somewhat randomly. Told you about last week about that sort of the chaotic nature of discipleship sometimes. But one of my favorite classes in seminary was systematic theology, in which you're trying to take all these teachings of scripture and you're trying to categorize them into nice, neat compartments. And one of the things that comes out of that kind of categorization is the doctrines of our beliefs. Every church or Christian organization has some kind of doctrinal statement. And they are created to help us easily identify what our core beliefs are. And I have found that although we have a doctrinal statement here at FPC, I think very few people know the scriptural basis for it. And likewise, we have a certain understanding of what a disciple is. We have a certain understanding of what the church is. But I am not sure that we have ever explicitly taught on these things. One of the things that I mentioned last week is a desire to sort of create this roadmap to Christian maturity. And so starting in May, I'm going to begin a discipleship training program that takes people through the foundations of discipleship. I'm calling it Discipleship Foundations. And it'll just be on a voluntary basis. And it's for anyone who's interested in getting a fresh start on becoming a better follower of Jesus. It's going to be intensive. It's going to require a serious commitment. It's intended to ground us in our understanding of the Christian faith. It is also intended to equip us to make a kingdom difference with our lives. And right now, the program will include a number of these I call it time manageable modules. And these modules are built around this Francis Chan book. I left it on the thing here. If anybody has seen this book Francis Chan wrote called Multiply, great resource. The program is going to be based on his content here. A lot of chapters in this book. We're not going to try to do one a week type of thing. We're going to combine them and we're going to kind of try to shorten the program without compromising quality time. But I'm going to read this to you, and this is what he states as the goal. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we learn from him, fellowship with him and obey everything he commands us. We study the Bible to learn about who God is, who we are, and what God is doing in our world. The Bible compels us to join God in what he is doing in and around us. Studying the Bible is important, but the goal is never knowledge for the sake of knowledge. As you work through this material, you should be looking to change. Being a disciple of Jesus means that we are being transformed into his image. God wants to change us so much that it intrigues others. This gives us the opportunity to tell them about the God who is transforming us. Teaching others about Christ is essential to being one of Jesus' disciples. As we teach others to love and obey Jesus, we are fulfilling his command to make disciples. Your goal should be to train up other followers of Jesus who are even more committed, talented, and equipped than you are. Whether you guide others through this material or use some other means to teach them to be followers of Jesus, make it your goal to spend your life raising up followers who give everything for the glory of God. And so we're going to go through this, not all of it. I'm pulling material from other sources in some of these sessions or classes that we're going to have. But let me just quickly take you through some of these. The first module is, it's very small, so I apologize. Living as a disciple maker, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Do you know what that means? What does it mean to disciple others? What is the heart of a disciple? A lot of you here might already know the answers to these questions, but have you ever considered how to instill this in other people that you minister to? We will talk not only about what this means, but how we can help disciple others in the future. Second module is living as the church, kind of what we're talking about now. What does a living church look like? Where do you personally fit into the local church? I'll talk about the church history a little bit, about who we are, the purposes of our ministries, why the local church is so important. Third module is understanding the Bible. We're going to have modules for the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we'll talk about this, the big picture of the scriptures. What's it teaching? And out of that, rather than taking you through the doctrinal statement, boom, 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 we're actually going to go through the Bible, and we're going to show you the doctrines that come out of it as we go through the scriptures. Because the doctrines aren't man-made. They are something that comes out of the scriptures. This will give you a framework for how we should read the Bible, which leads naturally to the fourth module, how to study the Bible. And we think it's important that everyone be able to study the scriptures for themselves, not just learn it in a class or from a small group or some teacher, but to be able to discern for yourself the teachings of those who teach. And it's going to be a crash course. It's only 4 weeks, I think, four sessions, I think. But it's going to help you rightly interpret the Bible. And I think this is just so needed because there is a lot of teaching out there that does not align with how we understand the Bible. And then I'm going to do a fifth module, and I'm still kind of working on this. This is going to be geared toward emerging leadership. And this will be one for those who have this firm grip on these first four modules and that they're gifted to lead in some capacity. I'm still kind of working through this, but in this module, we'll focus on the heart, on character, on the practice of leadership. Now, and just thinking about some of these things, a question that has come up among the elders is what should be qualifications for people to serve in certain ministries? And there are certain low barrier opportunities and there are certain high barrier opportunities. Teaching like is an example of a high barrier one. And one thought is that in order to prepare people to serve, we might have people go through some of these classes. We need to be investing in you. And we need to help you become more capable in your serving and more confident in your serving within our community. So that's something that we're thinking about as we launch this program in May. And that's something I'm thinking about. I think we're going to start after Easter, first week of May. I'm going to do these sessions after church. We'll do it over lunch. And depending on how many people are interested, we'll figure out a schedule and we're just going to go from there. I'm not just not quite sure how many people are interested in something like this, but I'm hoping that that you'll find some interest in this and that it'll be a great foundation for all of us. I'll send out more information as we get closer to the date and a way to sign up, but I hope you'll join us as we strive to become better followers of Jesus. In Jesus' Great Commission, he said that we are to go and make disciples, and that he says that we are to teach them to obey everything he commanded. So the process of becoming requires us to believe the right things, because what we believe determines how we will live. Just remember that. The last point in becoming is this matter of how we spend our time. I mentioned it already, but here I want to speak a little bit more positively about it. The third point is we need to do the right things. There we go. Do the right things. Becoming is affected by what we do. I've heard it said something, along the lines that that you don't become by doing. You do because you have become. That our actions reveal what's inside, and that's true. But that doesn't mean actions don't lead to change. Okay, look at how the disciples were transformed. Jesus spent several years with the disciples. They learned by watching and listening. At times, Jesus would send them out to do the work of the ministry on their own. And then finally, Jesus left them, and all they had to do without Jesus' presence. And even though Jesus had, spent all this time with them, they still were not what they would later become. And they continued to grow through the process of doing the work of the ministry. The college I went to has this motto that says, learn by doing. And that's one of the ways that we become better disciples of Jesus. Our actions don't reveal what's inside, but they also make us better. And I can't think of many things that we get better at without doing something. Practice makes us better. It makes us better musicians. It makes us better in sports. It makes us better in skills. And the same is true of becoming disciples of Jesus. We don't become better disciples simply by listening. I was in the foyer this morning, and Hito was showing someone how to golf. And so he's doing this little golf swing thing, and I talked to him and said, I've watched a lot of videos golfing. A lot of people, you probably have seen a lot of videos, and you know in your head what you're supposed to do, but let me tell you, it does not translate to the ground. It doesn't. And the only way you get better is by, watching more videos? No. You have to do it. Doing it is what makes you better. We don't become better disciples simply by listening. Real change comes as we live it. So when we read the New Testament, we read a lot about how the church should function, and that includes everyone doing something, serving one another with their gifts and abilities. And the picture that Paul uses is a picture of a body. Every part of the body is necessary to function properly. Even the smallest part is necessary. And this picture of the body growing according to Ephesians 4 is that it grows with everyone doing their part. So not only are we growing individually by serving, but we are growing up the entire body as we serve. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He's talking about spiritual gifts. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So how we become better disciples includes serving, using our gifts. It includes action. It includes participation. We become better disciples when we're in the game and we're not on the bench. And that's the challenge for us, I think, as followers of Christ. If we want to be better disciples of Jesus, then we need to get into the game. We need to serve in some way. Now, I'm going to confess that it can be difficult to figure out ways to serve here at FBC. And if you are interested in some way, who do you talk to? How do you share your interest in serving? And as a leadership, we are aware of this gap in our ministry. And we know that we need to figure out a better way to open the doors for people to serve. We just don't have really a formal way of doing that yet. Now, I laugh at this a little bit because last week, you know, I asked Kyle to lead worship. And he prayed about it. And he said, yeah, he would do it. Amen. And so I scheduled him to lead last week. But what he didn't know was that I assemble the teams every week. And so I had a team for him, but he didn't know that. And so he, from what I understand, he sent an email out to the entire CYC group asking, can anybody play or sing? And I usually go through a process, right, of vetting people before they put them on the team because, you know, they have to be spiritually and musically capable to be on a team. And Kyle, in tremendous faith, just threw the net out and he gathered people. And God provided in Kyle's faith. I love that. I love that. Even when we might not have a clear process, Kyle's heart to make it happen was honored by God. And it turned out great. In fact, Eric, you know, Eric played piano for the first time because of that net that he threw out. It was great. Okay, but this did expose the need for us to find a better way to help people serve. And that's something we're going to be working on in the months to come. So for now, I'm telling you up front, if you want to become a better disciple of Jesus, find a way to serve, and your interactions will only help you become better at relating with others. Your ability to serve will only get better. Your experiences will reveal God in ways that you couldn't have experienced otherwise. So if you see a way that you might want to serve, for now, just let one of the elders or ministry leaders know, and we'll do what we can to help you serve. Now, it was brought to my attention, or the leadership's attention recently, that many of you don't know who our elders are, or who our ministry leaders are. So even if you were interested, and I'm telling you, go contact these people. Well, I don't know who these people are. That's a problem, right? Don't even know who to ask. So I asked Mina to create and print out a directory of our church leaders and ministry leaders, along with their email addresses. And I have that list. I've printed out a bunch of them, and I put that list in the foyer. And you can take a copy if you want. I just encourage you to pick one up on the way out. And if you are interested, you know who to contact. There it is. It's not perfect, but it's a good start, at least if you're interested in serving. Serving one another, it's really more than about the service itself. And obviously, it's helpful, but when it comes to our spiritual growth, the one thing serving does, and this is really the ultimate personal goal for all of us as followers of Jesus, and that is it builds character. Serving builds character. Honestly, it is less about what we do and more about who we become. The work is only a means to an end. And I've shared this before as a summer job I had in college. I worked for the mosquito abatement district, okay? And our job was to prevent mosquitoes from emerging as adults. And where do mosquitoes breed? They breed in stagnant water. And I grew up in the Central Valley of California, and that is the farming region of California, of the state. And so mosquitoes would breed in the stagnant waters in the fields. Our job was to walk back and forth down these fields and spray the stagnant waters in the ditches. And we did this in 100-degree weather with oil tanks on our backs. And it was brutal. But we got the job done. And I debated about whether I should share this because, you know, it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back here, but I'm not. But it did more. I'm saying that it did more than manage the mosquito population. It gave us grit and perseverance. It prepared us for the future when we need to do things, even when we didn't feel like it. And if there's one thing that I've learned in life, it is that teaching builds our understanding, but serving builds character. Serve, serve, serve. And that leads me to this closing thought. To become better followers of Jesus, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the message. We must have the heart and the will to do it. To become better followers of Jesus, we must have the will to do it. The will means that you'll do it even when you don't feel like it. The will overrides the heart sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to do what is right. We don't want to do the right things that will help us become more like Jesus, because it can be hard and unpleasant. But the will has the power to override our feelings. I've talked about this New Year's resolution that I've shared about trying to get into better shape. So we bought some workout equipment about a month ago. And Miley and I tried to do it together. Miley, if you don't know my daughter, Miley, she's 15 years old. And Miley has incredible willpower. She will be doing crunches. And while she's doing them, sometimes I hear her say, "I hate these. I hate these." But that doesn't stop her from doing them anyway. I, on the other hand, I have a very weak willpower. And there will be days when I really don't want to do it. I'm pressed for time, and so other things just push out the workout. But Miley, she insists that I work out with her. And most of the time, Miley's will is enough for two people. And she gets me to work out. And I think this is an example of how discipleship can't be done alone. We need each other to push us through those hard times and keep us going, especially when we don't feel like doing it. Sometimes we have the will to keep pursuing Jesus, and sometimes we don't. And we just need other people alongside us to help us through the long haul. Becoming more like Jesus, we need each other to keep going. I talked about belonging last week. And that's the reason why belonging is an imperative. It's an imperative piece to discipleship. Do you have others to help you become the person God wants you to be? What does this look like at FBC? I showed this a few weeks ago. But here are the ministries that help us become better followers, and I've included some here with gaps. And if you have a place of belonging here, your next step is becoming. Find a way to keep learning and serving. Because remember, what you believe and what you do determines in large part what you will become in the years ahead. Let's become better followers of Jesus. Next week, we're going to tackle the third step, and that is the bringing step, bringing the gospel to the world. But for now, think about this week. How can you become a better follower of Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you have invited us into a life with you. Father, that you desire for us to become so much more than we already are. And Father, I would pray that you would give us the will and the hearts to pursue that. And as we do, Father, I pray that you would reveal more of yourself, your greatness, your goodness, your power in our lives, so that we might introduce others to that life as well. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.